The first one's taken from Jeremiah 29, starting at verse 7. Page 794 in the Church Bible. But seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets and your diviners who are among you deceive you, and do not listen to the dreams that they dream. For it is a lie that they are prophesying to you in my name. I did not send them, declares the Lord. And the second reading is Galatians 6, starting at verse 9. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap, if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are in the household of faith.
You might have sensed a disjointed reading there, but it's something. It's something that, you know, I have been learning. So I'm actually going to share with you this morning what I have been learning, or we have been learning, serving in London. But let me start by, again, emphasizing our thanks to you. I was 28 years old when I left Liberia, and you have been on this journey with us for 28 years. I mean, it's a long time, and we praise God. You know, you have been along with us in a noise in London. London is noisy. In fact, we live on a back street in King's Cross, and you know, almost all the activities that you can ever think on took place right at the entrance of our home. So you have been on that journey. You have been with us in the need, so many needs, as I mentioned, social needs, psychological, emotional, practical, spiritual. And you have also been rejoicing with us in victories. We have seen people saved. Some of those people are helping us today. Some who were in a situation and they stood up and they said, I can just end this life. A pregnant lady who said, I can end this life. And a child, it means life. Door to door, met her, became Christian, discipled her, and that lady is one of those that help us today from Muslim background. You have been with us in heartbreak. Yes, sometimes it's difficult. Last week, I was actually preparing on Tuesday when I got a phone call from a couple and said, oh, Dada, a 15-year-old boy in Westbourne Road has just been in Islington, has been stabbed to death. This boy, we know his parents. I was preparing on this, and I had to go there. I was there till 7 o'clock. Just our visibility. You have been with us during those difficult, exhausting time. It is not just our testimony. It is not just London City Mission testimony. It is all of us testimony. Because God is moving, or God has been moving our hearts to serve him in a city. Faithful in the city means we are also faithful to God himself. You know, some of the lessons that I've learned, one of them is the city matters to God because people matters to God. People are in the city. The passage that we read, it says there that, you know, God is moving his people into the city, into Babylon. Now, in whatever way, it was God's way. And God says to them, plant gardens, build homes, raise families, seek the peace of the city where I have sent you. So God wants his people visibility in the city, because God's people reveals God himself. And God is keen to bring his people back to himself. You know, Christmas is coming, and we read that wonderful passage in Galatians. In the fullness of time, God revealed his son. What was the purpose? To bring men back to God. And God has always been into that business of bringing his people back to himself. You know, the greatest gift we can ever give is that obedience for our presence to be in a city or in our home and in our community as God's people, so that people can see God in us. And by doing that, you know, we bring hope. You know, wherever hope, I say that over and over to people, wherever hurt and hope meet, hope takes over. Hope changes, and hope is in God alone. And when hope takes over, what happens is peace coming. And the peace of God passes all understanding. You know, I remember a lady that we led to the Lord many years ago. I used to do senior citizens Bible study. This lady used to do the cleaning in the building. And we have finished. She was listening. We were in a meeting place. She was listening to everything we were going through about Jesus meeting us at the point of our needs. And she heard everything. And after the Bible study, she, you know, when the senior citizens have left, I was packing my, you know, computer and other things. And she said, can I have a bit of talk with you? And she came and sat down, you know, with tears. And she said, I hear a few of what you said. I just want to talk to you. And she told me the story. You know, as a young person, when my mother passed away, you know, the dad that should have loved us, take care of us, abused me. Yes, it was, I mean, she said it was on the news and all. She, you know, the dad went to prison. But that lady still living with, she was still living with the hurt. And we sat and I said, look, only God can do something about your situation. And I share with her my own personal life, leaving my country and some members of the family killed and the hurt and everything. And right there, that lady gave her life to the Lord. Now, we did some discipling. But a few years ago, one of her aunts died. And she invited the local vicar and myself to share at that funeral. And I was amazed for that lady to stand up there and say, I always wished for death, but receiving Christ, it changed it. And I was happy. I don't know whether my aunt ever made a commitment, but I was happy to share with her the peace that I received when I accepted Christ. And she gave the date and the time. You know, when hurt and hope meet, hope takes over And that hope brings a peace of God. And that peace of God passes all understanding. Something that we don't understand. You know, God says to us, it's me now. Focus on me. The city matters to God because people are there. People who have been hurt. People who their life has been damaged. People in need. And these are not just words. Those are the lessons that I have learned over the years, or Naomi and I have learned over the year. People see the city sometimes as problem, but I see it as a mission field. Or if you were in Northern Ireland, the moment you talk about London, they say, "Ooh, you know, what a big place. I can't live there. Oh, you know, it's so fast. It's, you know, so on." You know, I usually say to my father-in-law, I say, "You know, Morris, you know, the countryside is great, but you know, we won't have countryside in heaven because there will be people from every background, from every kindred, language, tribe, everywhere. They will be there. What will you do if you're afraid of crowds? You won't be able to make it there." You know, so. And city, to me, I was not born in city in Liberia. In fact, I grew up on a farm, rubber farm, because my dad had a rubber farm and we had people who worked there. And then so we mingle with those who cut the rubber. And then from our farm, I went to little mission schools. You know, boarding, you know, Methodist and or the Inland Church. In fact, the school that I went to, the Inland Church Mission School, I went on that campus was 8 buildings. 3 were occupied with missionaries. The rest were either school building or clinic and so on. So that was my upbringing. But I found myself here in Belfast, in Edinburgh, and now in London. And I have come to love the city. City is not a problem. London is a great place. There where people are. And God sent his people from that passage into the heart of human need. What do the people in Babylon need? They need God's people. Babylon is a city, a place that we can associate with Nebuchadnezzar, a place where, you know, everything, paganism, what's going on? But this is where God is moving his people. And also there's a message there for us, for those of us, not only for us as Christians, as pilgrims passing through the face of this earth, but there's also a practical spiritual message for people like us, immigrants. I speak to lots and lots of immigrants. In fact, yesterday I was speaking to many of them on Oxford Street. Yesterday we were on Oxford Street giving out New Testament Bible. We gave out over 290-something to people with many, many conversations. Now, message in here, and I say to the churches, look, don't be afraid to tell immigrants just what it is from the scriptural background. Because I say it to them. I say it to immigrants. Those of us that we left our country because of civil war and other crises and came into a country like this, we have responsibility. One of them is to pray for the nation that God has brought us. Because as that nation prospers, you will prosper. And I challenge them. I tell them, I say, in my country, from the capital city to my area is about 220-something miles. Naomi has been there. Sometimes it takes maybe 12 to 18 hours to get there. But I can drive from here, you know, from London to Northern Ireland in a day. I say, so I benefit. I say, so you are here. Pray for the country. And I say, you need to also be fruitful. Don't depend on the benefits. You need to work with your hand. And that's what our passage is saying. Grow food. Do something with your hand. Don't rely on, you know, the Western society is so great. You know, you can get free things. In my country, there's no free thing. If you don't build your own house, you will sleep on the street. If you don't work, you will not eat. And so I say this, open it. To Muslims, to whoever, you need to be fruitful. Have a mind. Yes, you need emergency help, but don't depend on it. I remember when I left the faith mission, I was in Northern Ireland, Ballymoney in Naomi's hometown. We were not going that time. And then when I, you know, moved from the faith mission, I was told by my Christian people, oh, go to the housing executive and go to this. You will be able to get so benefits. And I went to that place. You know, the only black man at that time in that area. And the lady was so happy. He said, we never had somebody like this. So this would be easier. And we went through all the things. And I met every dot, everything. And she said, well, and she calculated how much I was going to be getting in a week. And to me, it sounded so good to be true. And I'm like, even in faith mission, I didn't get that in a month. And I was going to get a place. And I told her, hold on here. What if I get a job? He said, well, when you get a job, we calculate how much you I pay and whatever change would give you the help. And within that time, I got a job. And I went back, and they calculated, and you know how much check they were giving me monthly? 35p check from the government. And, you know, I could have taken that because I would have been in a building that the government would be paying for it. I would have been getting money in a week. And I say this to immigrants. I said, look, there's a blessing in doing something, in being fruitful, contributing to the society that God has brought you in. And we must say that, standing on the scripture. And I want to, again, these are lessons that we are learning. You have been on this journey with us, supporting us. And your support has kept us going over and over to people, over and over in building and in block of flats and telling people. So that's my first lesson. City matters to God because people matter to God. And my second lesson is transformation will take place by persistent love. Transformation in the city will take place because God has said in his word that his word will not return unto itself void. We must believe it. God says that. We must believe it. You see, mission in a city is not fast work. I'm learning that all the time. It is a seed that you sow in. It is slow. It is also costly. Now, whenever I think, and I'm not just saying something here from my lips, please. When I think on Buckingham Evangelical Church family, I praise God. You know, whenever David Brown sent the voucher, I usually look at the receipt. And when I see that amount of money that you gave, and I'm giving £40 voucher to people either from Whitrow or Sainsbury, and I say to myself, how in the world, how could we have done it? When I have, you know, a Muslim lady, Somalian lady, coming to us and say, look, we look forward to this. Mission in a city is costly. I mean, we couldn't have done that. Like, as I said, when I have, you know, a couple come with their three children and we're giving them two bicycles and going home, putting it on a minibus and going home rejoicing. Mission in the city is costly. It is relational. You know, again, your prayer, your support, help us to keep going to those people, talking to them. And as I say, it can be exhausting. We can microwave transformation by God in a city. But God honors our persistent love, just showing that love. Those are some of the lessons that I'm learning. We have seen people save. Some, they are still hanging there. In fact, in June 2020, during the pandemic, this lady I have known since 1997, we have shared the word of God with her over and over. And now she took a mini heart attack. She was taken to hospital. And as she lied in that hospital, she said everything that I have been saying to her started to come. What if I die? What's going to happen to me? And after, you know, the discharge came home, she phoned me and said, "Dad, I just want to talk to you." At that time, the pandemic was around. We couldn't have people in the building. And I said, "But look, can we not talk on the telephone?" And she said, "No, I just want to see you." And I said, "Okay, I'm going to come to the center, but we will not go in the building." And I came to the center. I took a chair and set it at the entrance there, and she sat there. And she told me the whole story. And she said, "Look, I want to settle things with God," even though she's from Muslim background. And there I was going through the salvation story. And she made a commitment. But this, being a Muslim, this is what she told me. She said, "I will come to you. You will share with me. And you will always be, you know, my pastor," she said. "But one thing is, I will find it difficult to go to church." And I said, "Why?" She said, "Because if they see me going to church, they will harm me." Today, we are godparents to that lady's daughter. And I'm in communication with her. It's slow work. From 1997 to 2020 June, that lady confessed Christ. You know, there were days that sometimes we felt, you know, I felt, on many occasions I felt, this is wasting of my time. I can't continue with this. But then another time you are seeing God breaking through, like in the case of this lady. Persistence produces breakthrough. That quick effort would never. And we have seen that. Persistence. And the message to me is, Dada, don't give up. Yes, I'm flesh and blood. And sometimes I feel like giving up. Dada, don't give up. Don't stop praying. Don't lose heart. The face of slow transformation, just keep going. You see, city transformation, as I say, is a maritime of love, not a spirit of convenience. It's keep going. And the third lesson that I have learned is in the city, people are watching, God's people. And that's why Matthew said to us, "You are the city. You are like the city built on the hill. People see you. You are the salt You are the light of the world. Now, I wonder what people see in us, what people hear through our voice. Light of the world. I say to myself, the most powerful strategy for mission in the city is, I don't know what I'm using the right English word, strive or try to look like Jesus. It's really pressing on to look like Jesus. Because that's what people see. It's not just word. When I'm out on the streets, on Wednesday we were at Warren Street giving out Bible, and people come to me, they want all their theological debates and religious debates. In fact, yesterday I was talking to two Malaysian women. The first thing they told me, oh, we are Hindus. We're not taking the Bible. I said, that's good. But will you tell me a little bit about Hindu religion? And they went on, they talk about incarnation and all of those things. If you are bad in life. And I said to them, so now, if you die now, what sort of life you will come? Will you be snake? Will you be dog? And the both of them looked at one another. Oh, I said, because are you sinful? I said, of course, we all do wrong thing. I said, so what if you die now? You're going to get a tube. What if there's something there? And that gave them some thought. And I said, something. For me, God is able to do something with our sin now. And then I read that verse from Corinthians. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And I say, see, now, if you come to know Jesus, that sin, and you see the life after, is Christ that taking you. And then I read again my favorite verse, John 3:16, and the two of them said, oh, we will take your Bible. Can you mark those verses you read? And I marked them with my pen. I say, when you go home, read and read and read and think. Just be reading. Even you pray to your Hindu's God or God and just say, God gave me the understanding of these verses. I say, and God will make it clear to you. And I believe that the best strategy of believer is their presence and people are watching us. You see, God is not really looking for a ready-made person. God is just seeking for ordinary people. I use the word Christ-shaped people to just represent him. Like these people, the Israelites, God is saying to them, he's taking them to the city of Babylon. But he's saying to them, they don't even know when, whether they will ever come back. Look, raise family, plant, work with your hand, be visible. And that was the message. You see, our visibility speaks of God's compassion. Because when we are visible, people see us, they see something in us, and we see the needs of people. I never worked in a city, as I said. I didn't even know what all in a city. So coming here in King's Cross, I was in Pentonville Prison. When God laid on our heart to start youth work, because I have spoken in a prison, and a young fellow there said, I asked him, I said, why are you in here? And he said, from the time I was like this, I've been committing crime. And I said, where did you grow up? And he said, oh, you told me you're from Paget Christian Center. I grew up around the Birmingham Estate. And that was something that woke me up. And it was from there that we started youth club that used to be called Big Up. And that youth club, if I tell you just this year, July, I came to the center on one morning, that morning, and I saw this young boy, young man, coming with his Singaporean wife. I didn't recognize him, but he recognized me. And he said, look, it is me. That young boy became Christian through our work. But he's now working with British firm and post in Singapore. And he said, we are over for break. And we just felt we should pass by and see, you know, the areas that I used to hang around. And I was amazed. And he came in, we sat, and he told me all the story when I did, I think he did law. He said, you know, then I got a job with a British firm, and later on they sent me to Singapore, and then I met my wife there. Mary said, whenever we come over, we go to our Holy Trinity Brompton for service. Now, this is just it. Our visibility reveals God's compassion, courage, and it brings hope. Now, recently, Naomi brought some of her students to the center. Among them was a Somalian girl. And I thought they were just going to hang around the center and then Naomi would take them back to Whittington Hospital, but she decided to take them out for meal. And they said, oh, you can come along. As we were going, I'm counting them. And I'm saying, I hope her hospital will pay for that, for the meal. But it didn't happen that way. She was paying it from herself. And I said, wow, you're taking all these people for meal, including you and myself. And then we went to the Chinese restaurant called Bamboo in King's Cross. It was great. We sat there, this Somalian student, midwifery student, she took the conversation on a personal level. You know, how long you people been married? How many children you people have? You know, and she went on and on. And as I shared with her, that girl said something. She said, you don't mind if I connect you with my father, if I gave your number to my father. She sensed something. As we talk about our own children, our relationship is something that not in that home where she came from. And then after a few days, she had an encounter, and her father responded. She was not meant to be in school. But she phoned to Naomi and said, are you in the hospital? And Naomi said, yes. And that girl came and spent almost the whole day with Naomi. She's a Muslim girl, Somalian girl, just so Naomi can have a kind of talk with her. You know, Jesus shines through ordinary people when we choose to love like him. And let us, as believers, continue to be visible for Christ. Your life is the message. Let us continue to be courageous in our compassion. You know, the work of our hands, the work of our hearts reveals Christ. And let's continue to support mission in the city. Not just London, in the city. As I started, God loves city. Because people are there, many, many different people. I love seeing different people. You know, just yesterday alone, Wednesday on Warren Street, so many people. You know, I didn't even know there's so many different types of people in South Africa. When I'm in Oxford Street or... You know, just all we know about in South Africa is white and black. But there's so many different people. And I'm standing there and say, you're South African? I say, are you sure? Yeah, I'm South African. South African. Just different people. Let's continue to pray for mission. And I want to close by again saying thank you. You have been our sending family. Again, I don't say this from my lips. We couldn't have continued with this work in a way it has gone on if you were not with us in prayer. I mean, I still remember sometimes you used to give our money to give out to people. Beside the toys, in the last few years, you've been giving vouchers. You've been supporting us. And not only in London, but for Liberia. I almost wanted to say to James, you know, a few days ago, I think that was on Thursday, I wanted to say to him, James, there's something wrong with you. He asked me a question. What can we do for you? And I'm like, James, you are just sending me money. My ticket's been bought for Liberia. My insurance been paid. I'm already relaxed. I'm only waiting for the day to come for me to get to Liberia. How can you ask me another question? What can you do for? Nothing you can do for me. You have done so much, and I want to thank you. You have encouraged us. You have filled us in this partnership in sharing the gospel. Everything God has done through LCM, through us, it is every one of us testimony. Every life that has been touched, every prayer that has been prayed, you have been there. It is your testimony. It is our testimony. More importantly, God's. And He takes the glory. Our next chapter, as I said, we are not, you know, the call of God, vocation. You know, it only ends with physical death here. We are staying in a mission. We are in London, maybe another year, 2026, depending on when Naomi gets job. You know, when Naomi gets job, then, you know, the move will take place. But we're hoping that sometime in the middle of the year, she will be able to get something. But we are in the Lord's work. I will be supporting 3 churches in London, not on salary. Those churches have been very close to me. In fact, I started to take one of the vicars. These vicars have been, you know, in that place for 12 years. And he was never out in a community. 2 years ago, I started to take him out. And he has seen the results of being visible in the community. And there's no joke about it. Because when we started last year, up to this time, he now have 8 people from the community coming to his church, whom we contacted through door-to-door. One of the new ones is a young girl who had just started coming. And that young girl, I'm going to be giving her a bit of training. I'm actually asking her to get involved into the youth work. I say, you don't come to church to sit. You know, it is blessing to give than to receive. Don't just receive. Try to give. So I will be equipping her. So we will be involved with those churches, doing the same thing, helping them to reach out to diaspora. Diaspora, that word diaspora, I sometimes struggle with it, but reaching out to all peoples within the community. And that's what it's about. And we want to thank you so much for all your support, for encouraging us on this journey. And we pray that you will continue to journey with us as we support these churches in London. And as the time comes, we move to Northern Ireland. God is again starting to work. Just while we were there recently, one of the pastors asked me to come and share a little bit about reaching out to people from different cultures, because his church has seen people from different cultures coming into the church. And then while we were there recently, Naomi and I had the opportunity to share in one of the congregations in a place called Newton Arts. So the work will continue even when we move to Northern Ireland. Thank you.